Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk Dad podcast, episode 153.
Hello.
Got Phoebe here with me.
Yes.
How's it going, Phoebe?
It's going good. I'm tired.
You're tired.
You're home. I don't have a reason to be tired.
You're home from college.
Yeah.
You're kind of on the college student off on a break schedule.
Yeah. It's a little weird because everyone here is still in school.
Yeah.
It's not like officially summer.
But, you know, one of the benefits of being a college student back at home again is you don't really have a bedtime. You can just kind of do whatever you
no.
want. I mean, not it's a little whatever
weird
you want.
It's a little weird to come home at like midnight or whatever from hanging out with friends and everyone's just asleep. And it's like,
because we've got lives and school and
well,
work
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, because you guys are, and I mean, I'm.
But every day is a weekend for you.
Yeah. And it's weird because I'm like, because mom will be like, well, you should let us know when you come home. But I'm like, well, you guys are asleep. So I'll like text, but it's like, and then she'll call me at like 10 and be like, so I'm like, sorry, I've been sleeping until like 12, but.
Yeah.
So probably not the best schedule, but it's been good.
But it is what it is.
Yeah. I'm not really here long enough to get a job, which is a little nice, not going to lie. But I do get a little stir crazy. But now my friends are back from their breaks, slowly coming back. So it's been pretty good.
So I've got a question about that.
Yes.
I remember when I was in high school, of course, you know, I knew my friends in high school. And then everybody went to college. Some people went to the same college I did, but a lot of people went to other colleges. And then I'd see them when they came home from college. And there were some of them that were like, yeah, I'm not the same person I was. I've changed a little bit from going to college, not in my hometown. Do you feel like that with any of your friends?
Do you feel like my friends have changed or I have?
It's not so much. It's like the attitudes of my friends were a little bit different. Sometimes they were like, yeah, it's just different when you go to college somewhere else and you meet other people.
Well, for one thing, I am the person who went to college somewhere else and met different people.
True.
Because I went very far away with no one I knew.
Do you feel like you've changed, like, from your friend's perspective? I know that's a weird question to ask.
Maybe a little bit. I was actually talking with a friend yesterday. I got dinner with a friend after I went to my old high school's spring orchestra concert, which Will was in, but it was fun to see everyone else, too. But I was talking to her, and she was talking about how we're both people who are kind of bad at, keeping in contact. Like, we're both kind of bad about, like, we always say we're going to call each other and then it just never works out because we're both busy. But she was saying that we're both kind of the people that we can just, like, see each other again and it's, like, no time's passed. Like, we're both very, like, friendly people and we both just click really well. So we were just talking about how for us, it feels like nothing's really changed when we come back. But we have, like, I have changed. And I can tell that my friends have changed a little bit. But I feel like when you come home, it's weird because it's almost like you're back in high school again.
Yeah.
So it's not like that I feel like I've regressed, but like it is a weird feeling. Like sometimes I feel like whenever I first come home, it's like I momentarily forget that college happened and I feel like I'm still in high school and then I have to remind myself. It's really weird.
Yeah. Because you're home, you're in your bedroom, you're seeing some of the same people. Yeah. So
going back to the school and watching all the old
just
concerts
frames it the same way.
I've been getting so like nostalgic too for not most of high school, but just a few things that I really miss. And it didn't bother me while I was in college, but now that I'm just here back, it's like, I don't know, it's a little sad. There's definitely things I miss from high school.
One thing I noticed when I was at Williams Orchestra concert is that the auditorium at your high school smells very much like a high school. I don't know why I noticed that, but I walked in and I was like, this just smells like a high school. And it sort of reminded me of when I was in high school. And I don't know if like my school smelled like that too, or if it's just sort of it had a high school smell to it.
It wasn't what I noticed. That auditorium used to have an issue with, I don't know exactly how it worked, but it always smelled like sewage because of the way the pipes were. It used to be a huge problem like all throughout the fine arts halls. So I haven't noticed that as much when I came back, but
yeah, I didn't notice a sewage smell, so that
wasn't
it.
There used to be a really bad sewage smell, especially in like kind of back by the band halls and in the dressing rooms. I think they fixed it, but there were people complaining because the administration doesn't care what goes on in the fine arts halls. It's like too far removed from them. There's no rules over there.
I do feel like somehow, And I may be crazy for saying this, but somehow I feel like all schools use the same janitorial products.
Yeah.
Like school restrooms have a certain smell that you don't smell in other restrooms. Like,
it's true. I'm sure it's just the super cheap bulk stuff.
And it's like this, I don't know, there's like a certain cleaner they use in the bathrooms that's almost sweet.
Yeah.
And powdery smelling.
I don't know.
And I remember that from like all the schools that I went to when I was a kid.
Yeah. It is. It's weird being back, especially in those fine arts halls, because it really was kind of my home. Like, especially, like, I had so many classes there, and I would go there super early in the mornings, and I would, like, I mean, the choir room. I would, like, sleep on the couch in there half the time. I would, like, eat my lunches in there. I would, like, it's very strange because it's changed so much, and my old teachers that I was really close with aren't there anymore. And it's just, like, very weird to walk through those halls and be, like, it's kind of off-putting, honestly.
Yeah. It's a little bit like how, you know, like I spend sometimes like more waking hours at work than I do at home.
Yeah.
That's kind of how your high school was for you. Like you were at school so much that.
I was, especially like my senior year, like I would get there super early in the morning. I would leave at night and like, I mean, honestly, even freshman year when I was doing like theater.
Yeah.
I would get there early and I would leave super late.
You usually have some extracurricular that would keep you after school.
Yeah. I was there forever, but I really just like lived there. Like that was. And it was just like, I don't know. There's some things I miss, but most of it I don't. But the things that I do miss are in that hallway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The one way that I think college is so much better than high school is you have so much more control over your own fate. Like in high school, there's just a lot of stuff you have to do because it's required to do in high school.
That's true.
Like rules that you have to follow, classes you have to take, places you have to be. You know, people you have to ask permission from to do other things. And in college, it's like, you got to do it.
And that's a lot.
And if you don't, no one's going to notice, but you might not pass your class.
Yeah. Well, and that's, it works so much better for like me, personality wise. You're very aware of this, but I'm very, very, to a fault, very independent. And I don't like people telling me what to do. And really, like when I'm left to my own devices, it's not like I'm making bad decisions on my own. Like I have pretty good motivations. Mm-hmm. I just like, don't like people telling me to do things like,
yeah,
it's kind of bad, but
I'm a little bit that way myself.
Maybe I'm very self-motivated and I just like, so college works for me because I'm going to get everything done. But honestly, in high school when people were telling me to get things done, I was less likely to do them.
Yeah. You would rather be the person to tell yourself what to do.
Yeah. I would rather just know that I was doing it because I wanted to do it. And I feel like for some people that's really hard, but for me it was honestly, it was better. And it's honestly, I feel like I'm not saying I was prepared to live independently when I was younger, but like, honestly, I was just as prepared as a lot of people going into college are when I was like, I remember when Elizabeth left for college, I was like, she's probably listening to this, and I love Elizabeth, and I think she would probably agree with me on this. When she left for college, it kind of weirded me out because I was like, honestly, I feel like I'm just as prepared for college as she is in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
That's no shade to Elizabeth, but because she's not, it's not like she was unprepared, but I was like, I feel like I'm just as independent as her at this point and have as many life skills and like was just always kind of like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, like older siblings and younger siblings, if they're close enough together,
they sort of mature together.
And, you know, it's like if you don't have an older sibling, it's a little bit harder to.
And it was partly that, but honestly, a lot of it was just that I've always been like that. Like I've always just wanted to do things by myself and like been
and some kids
fairly
are like that
good
too.
At that.
They're just independent and they're always feeling like, I want to be grown up. I want to do my own thing.
Yeah. And I always just like was pretty good at taking care of things myself. So like, I feel like, I don't know. I liked college. It wasn't that hard for me. It was hard being away from everyone. And it was hard like making new friends and that sort of thing. Like that took me a little while because it's hard to just completely leave everything.
Yeah.
But in general, I feel like I was pretty prepared for it and there wasn't anything that really threw me too much.
Yeah. So as we sit here, we are 11 days away from going to Japan.
Yep.
When this podcast comes out, we'll only be 8 days away from going to Japan. What that means for the podcast, we're going to have one more podcast after this one, and then we're going to take a hiatus.
I hate that we're doing a hiatus.
We've never done this before. So we will have a 153 week streak that will be snapped.
I know.
But I'm just too busy to get additional podcasts done before I leave.
Yeah, I feel like you could do it, but it's fine, I guess.
But I'm not going to. I'm going to spend my time getting ready for the vacation.
Yeah.
And then we'll pick it up when we get back. So the intention is not to sort of go on indefinite hiatus.
But we're going to miss our 2 year.
When we get back, we'll record a podcast. No, we're going to miss tell you all about Japan.
We're going to miss our 3 year anniversary. It would
possibly
be 156. Only was
but
there
we
a
can
leap
celebrate
year in
it when we get back.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. So when we get back, we can.
Our 3 year anniversary is during the first time we've ever gone a stretch without putting out a podcast. So that's
true.
Something.
We've done it 153 now weeks in a row. We'll do 154 weeks in a row, and then we're going to take at least a 2 week break.
156 is our anniversary.
Yeah.
So
before we post another podcast, but we will come back. We will tell you, we will tell our podcast listeners all about our family vacation to Japan. I'm very excited though.
I'm excited.
I am extremely excited. I've been sending out countdown photos to the family chat since I don't know when.
A long
since
time.
Probably right after we gave it for Christmas.
Yeah.
But now it's every day. So, you know, every day there'll be a new picture that has a number on it.
Every once in a while I'll send out one. I actually, so on my missionary like portal, the online thing with all the things I need to do, mm-hmm. which I should probably look at more. They have a countdown for when I'm going to leave for my mission. So I'll send out one of those when you send your vacation thing.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. So for you, that means that you're here, but in about, 11 days, you're going to leave for Japan. Then you're going to come home. And then it's about, a month later?
It's like a month later. Yeah.
That's why you were saying you really don't have time to.
Yeah, I don't really have time to get a job. And we're also, there's like a wedding in the middle there. And
yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on. And a lot of stuff you're going to need to do to prepare.
I actually got offered a job even, and I was kind of like, well, I don't have a car, and I'm not really going to be here very much.
Yeah.
So the job was way out, like 30 minutes away. And I was like,
and you don't want to take a job and say, oh, by the way, I have to go on vacation. And
right. And I told her that, and I think she still would have given me the job. But ultimately, I was like, well, if I don't have a car, that would be mom. I mean, mom might be willing to drive me, but that would be like so many hours of driving for her every time I had a shift. And I was like, I don't think that would really work at all. Just because I'm barely going to be here anyway. But yeah, I just looked it up. I report in 62 days. So I'm excited.
It is exciting. It's such a different lifestyle to adjust to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're mentally ready for it. So it'll be good.
Yeah.
But it is totally different. It's like going from being a, slacker college student who's out of class to having a very rigid lifestyle where you're working really hard. And
mm-hmm.
But it's good. So I had kind of an interesting thing happen the other day.
What?
I don't know how interesting this is, but I'm going to tell the story anyway. So when we first moved to Dallas, your mom and I out of law school, around the time you were born, we started listening to a lot of Dallas music. And at the time, Dallas had a lot of really good bands that were in the Dallas sort of had this music scene, and a lot of bands that sort of, they would like different bands would share members or they'd play shows together. And we started going to shows. A couple of the bands sort of became well known. None of them were like superstars or anything, but a couple of bands became better known. Some of
old
them just
97s
stayed.
Are pretty popular.
Yeah, the old 97s became pretty big. There was another band called Centromatic that was sort of well known among people who listen to that type of music. And then there were a lot of other really great bands that never really became anything outside of Dallas. They were really good in Dallas, but they never really made that next step to become known anywhere else. And we used to go to shows sometimes when we were younger, and we'd get a babysitter, and sometimes we wouldn't come home till really late at night when you and your sister were really little. And we kind of kept listening to that music. And then many years went by. And I remember there was this one guy that was like a really good musician, and he was really recognizable. Like either he was playing in the band or you'd see him at shows because he was really tall and he had a mustache.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, you know, easy to recognize.
Oh, I know that story you're saying now.
And so like, you know, I'd see him around. I'd go, hey, it's that guy. And I remember once like your mom and I sort of became involved with like this online community around one of the bands. There was like a, they had a, like a bulletin board and a lot of people would post on it and they'd post about other local bands. And I remember one of the band members of that band, they were talking about like the Dallas Observer Awards, which they do like music awards every year that, and focus on like local music acts and stuff. And I remember like one of the band members saying, well, this year I'm just going to write in this guy's name for like every category because he was just so well known. And so I think well liked and a really good musician. And then like, so many years, so flip ahead like 10, 15, 20 years. And I'm working where I am now in our building. And I noticed that, hey, there's a guy here that looks just like that guy. He's tall and he still has a mustache. And he's like, I see him walking into our building. I'm like, I wonder if it's that guy. And I look him up on like our associate directory, our employee directory. And sure enough, he now works at the same company I work at.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, well, that's interesting. But I never really thought, you know, like we don't work in the same department. So I'd never really like talked to him at all. Maisie's being loud. She's eating her food. Crunched away at her dog.
Maisie, can you eat a little quieter?
Maisie. Ugh. That dog. But anyway, so I'd seen this guy around. I'm like, hey, isn't that weird that he works here in a different department? And finally, like just the other day, I'm walking in from lunch from the parking garage. And he's also like had just got out of his car and I'm walking like just barely behind him. And I thought I should say hi to him. And I kind of said, hey, aren't you? And I feel weird about using his name. I don't know why. But aren't you so-and-so? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, you used to play in a lot of bands that I used to go see. And I had this little conversation with him just walking from the parking garage to our building. And he was like a really nice guy and really chill. But it was funny just talking about, yeah, I remember like, you know, when you played this show with these people at this venue. He's like, yeah, I think I remember that show. And I was like, yeah, that was a really great show. And just talking about that, I asked him if he still plays in any bands. He said, well, he kind of had a band a little while ago, but now that they're older, it's kind of hard to find time to practice because everybody's got other obligations. But, you know, he still goes to shows and he still enjoys playing. But now he's got a job. You know, he works at the same company I do. And
that's
it was
funny.
Just interesting, like kind of talking to the guy. And it actually was kind of cool in a way because it was like I made this connection with this guy. And I think, I don't know, I felt weird about it because, like, is that weird to say? It's almost like I'm a fan of this guy.
That's not, I mean.
But I think he kind of appreciated it. He was like, well, that's kind of cool that someone would remember me.
Yeah.
And remember these bands I used to play in. I don't know.
Years.
It was interesting. Mom has joined us. I'll turn on your mic.
Oh, thanks.
So you can join the conversation.
Yeah.
She just got home from bringing Henry home from his piano lesson.
Yeah.
But it had been a while, and it was just kind of fun. It was kind of fun talking to him. I don't know that I even introduced myself, but it was fun talking to him, and just for a very short time. And
that's funny.
It just seemed like kind of a nice guy.
Maybe you'll strike up a friendship.
He played with all those bands that we liked a lot. It's been a long time, I think, since I've seen him on stage.
Yeah.
Because that was like when we kind of barely
first
moved.
Early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. It's got to have been at least 15 years, I think.
Yep. So that was kind of funny. What else is going on? Anything else going on that we need to let our listeners know about, other than the fact that we're trying to get ready for Japan? I've got all the luggage laid out. I might start packing my bag here pretty soon.
I still need to unpack from college. That's what I'm working on now. Can I just say, I hate packing so much. And I had to, like, I was so bitter because I had to pack up my dorm knowing that I was going to go home, unpack everything, pack for Japan, unpack from Japan, and then pack for my mission. And I hate that for me.
Yeah, I haven't really packed anything other than a few things. I packed our passports and I packed some paperwork that we need. And I packed, like, I got some Japanese yen I packed that away. And, but mostly all I've done, I made a packing list for everyone.
Oh, excellent.
But I haven't started packing. I might do that soon, though.
How long is our flight?
Long.
I don't know exactly. Well, we're flying to Los Angeles first, and we're going to spend a couple of days in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to fly out of Los Angeles. From Los Angeles to Tokyo, I think it's around a 12-hour flight. It may be 14 hours. Somewhere, I think it's about a 12-hour flight. It's shorter one direction than the other, but I can't remember which direction shorter.
That
because of the prevailing winds.
Not terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's enough, though, that you really want to try to get some sleep because we'll leave at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And when we get to Japan, it'll be like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But it'll be 4 o'clock in the afternoon the next day.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Like you'll be missing a day of your life. Yeah. I always think
we'll
of that
get it
scene.
Back when we've traveled the other direction.
Right.
The scene from Princess Bride?
Yes. You just lost a day of your life. How do you feel?
Yeah, but, we'll see.
But
we'll
see, we do get it back later. So I actually Googled this, but nonstop flights take anywhere between 9.5 to 11 hours.
From Los Angeles to Tokyo?
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
It seemed longer than that, I swear.
Yeah, that doesn't seem that bad. That doesn't seem that much different from when we went to Portugal.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It will take as long as it takes, and it will be really exciting. It'll be really fun. I've got it so thoroughly planned out that my spreadsheet, I'm still tweaking it here and there, but I know exactly where we're going to be pretty much every hour of the day when we're gone. I don't know. I mean, I'm still open to like changing the itinerary at last minute if we need to, but yep. I've got it very thoroughly planned out. Planning vacations is sort of...
Yeah, it's what you like to do.
It's my avocation.
You're very, very good at it. Honestly, like if you retire ever from your legal career, I think
or
honestly,
his podcast career
or your pod. Well,
I mean, really, that's where most of our income comes from at this point.
That's so funny. So funny.
I'm also very good at planning Japanese vacations. Like yes. I know exactly how to find the train routes and the schedules, and I know how to get on the train and get off where you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. And I speak Japanese, so I can always ask questions of people if I need to.
Yeah.
So,
have you ever thought about starting a Japanese podcast? Are there Japanese podcasts?
I assume there are, but I don't
like
really
learn
know.
Japanese language podcasts.
No, like just podcasts that are in Japanese.
I don't know. Oh. I've never really tried to find them. I assume there are. I mean, there are millions of podcasts out there. I assume some are in Japanese.
I subscribe to a couple of like learning Japanese podcasts.
Well, but that's not.
But
it's different.
Yeah. I'm sure that there are.
Yeah.
Probably.
We could really, if you taught all of us Japanese, you could really hit the market with a new talk. How would you say talk to dad in Japanese?
I guess you would say like otosan to hanasu.
Mm.
Otosan to hanashi.
Would you use chichi instead of otosan?
No one knows. And neither do the listeners of this podcast.
Talk to dad.
I don't think you would use chichi because chichi is more like when you're talking about your father to someone else. But when you're talking about your own dad, you'd call him your otosan.
But if you're talking about your own dad to someone else, isn't that
you can save
what
this for your
this
Japanese
is?
Podcast?
I don't know. I taught...
Chi-Chi seems kind of formal to me.
This is a very formal podcast.
But it's more humble.
This podcast is both formal and humble.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Mother.
I'm happy to hear your opinion on that.
Mm-hmm.
I taught Henry on the way to and from piano a couple of useful Japanese phrases.
Yeah.
Can you guess what they were?
Was one konbanwa?
No, but I should.
I don't know. No, I can't guess what they are. You might as well just tell us.
Tore wa doko desu ka? Where's the bathroom?
That's a good one to know.
Yeah. And I taught him sumimasen.
See, the thing about learning that, though, I would ask where the bathroom was when we were in, like, Spanish-speaking countries, and it would be great until I realized I didn't understand their response.
Well,
sometimes they point, though.
Yeah, they point. Sometimes they'll even, like, escort you and, like, point and are really, really helpful.
Okay. Okay. What was the other phrase?
So I taught him sumimasen, just all purpose.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Hello. They use it for so many different things.
Yeah. And there was something else. Yeah, I taught him like if he's somewhere and he wants something, he can point and say, kore, What could I say? I want this, please. And that's it.
Do you want to know the Japanese phrases I know?
Sure.
Because I had a friend who spoke Japanese, and he used to be really good, but he would teach me like the word of the day. We kind of stopped doing it, but I learned the one that we would use all the time was... I told him I wanted to learn the Japanese equivalent of sometimes life be like that. So I learned how to say sometimes life is difficult. And I learned how to say the one that we would always use was whenever he drove me somewhere, I would need to lock the door and I always forgot. So he would say kagishita and I would say kagishite.
I locked it.
Well, it's like the command form of lock or unlock and then the past tense of locked.
Locked.
Okay. So I knew that one really well. And I knew, you know, Genki desu. How do you say how are you, though? I forgot that, actually.
Genki desu ka?
Is it just...
Or
Genki desu ka?
Basically,
genki desu?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Knew that one. I knew like a handful of things. Forgot a lot of them. But, you know. And I also like... I would always try to learn Japanese. I was telling Mom this the other day. I would always try to learn Japanese growing up. And then I would try to, like, use it and try to, like, say something to you in Japanese. And you would just laugh at me. You were not supportive.
That's like the sort of father I am. I apologize.
But I know some phrases still. I mean, I can say I don't understand. I can say I understand English. You know, useful stuff.
It's
helpful.
Eigo ga wakarimasu ka? Mm-hmm. Yeah. There or wakarimasen.
Let's do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I've got a story that may not be the most interesting story in the world, but something about it jumped out at me. A teenager made a promposal and a giant billboard in Times Square.
Hmm.
He used the T-Mobile billboard at Times Square to do his promposal. Here's what jumped out at me. I'll show you the picture. Here's what he displayed.
Oh, and I told him no.
It says, Phoebe, will you go to the prom with me?
Aww.
And that just made me notice. The guy's name was Kyle Gilber, a senior at Horace Greeley High School in Chappaqua. Was able to use the T-Mobile billboard in Manhattan to ask junior Phoebe Spar to go to the prom with him. Gilber said his father is friends with the company's CEO, who arranged for him to use the billboard. Gilber said Spar was suitably impressed with the gesture and agreed to attend the prom with him. The article also mentions, though, someone else who had a promposal that was less honorable. A teenager in Colorado spray painted a national monument.
Oh.
I promise to love you forever and always. Prom.
Question
dot,
mark?
Dot, dot.
Oh.
Is? Question mark?
Mm.
California park rangers are offering a reward for information leading to the person responsible for the graffiti.
Yeah.
So a couple of things that I want to talk about, though. First of all, this whole promposal thing. And second of all, the whole doing it in public in front of everyone on a giant Omnitron billboard.
Did you know that I gave an award-winning speech, impromptu speech on promposals?
Did you?
That was what won me my gold medal at state for speech for
Hackathon. I'm sure
I did
know that. I'm sure I knew that, and maybe we even talked about it on the podcast.
I don't think I talked about that.
Horse versus...
Yeah, so that was my main speech, and that was 70% of my score. I got a perfect score on the whole event, but then 30% of it was an impromptu speech, and I did it on promposals.
Oh, it was impromptu. Okay, so it's not your prepared speech.
Yeah, well, and it was because...
So what was your take?
Well, so basically, my entire, like, approach with the impromptu speeches was usually, because it had to be, like, I think a minute and a half to 2 minutes, maybe, like, around there. They were pretty short. And if I could look at one of them, they gave you, like, three prompts to choose from. You get a minute to prepare it. And so, obviously, you don't have a lot of time. And I would look at it, and I would think anything that I can come up with a story for is, like, a good bet, because then I can just make my introduction, like, this minute-long story, and then, like, give a brief, like... You know, a brief opinion, and then that's like a good speech and it's interesting. But there's one on promposals and whether or not they're too elaborate, or I don't even know if I gave a legitimate opinion, but I just told that story about, actually, when did we start this podcast? It could have been, no, it was before this podcast started. my promposal that someone promposed to me on my 16th birthday, mm-hmm. where it was like, do you want to tell the story, Dad?
I don't know the story as well as you. I don't think I was around for the entire story.
No, you were.
I was not. Yeah, my mom was, but I was not
so,
around.
So, no? Yeah. When, with the dog?
I wasn't mm-hmm. around for that
Yeah, you were.
Thing.
You were. It was on a Sunday
evening. You definitely
evening,
were. So what were happened there. Was I was over by the computer that's kind of by our door.
I think I found out about the same time Phoebe found out about it.
Well, yeah, but you were... So basically, didn't know this was happening. I was sitting in pajamas kind of near the front door of our house. And it was kind of late at night. It was on my birthday. And you went outside, Dad, because you knew what was happening. This is how I know.
Well, I think I got a call like right before it happened. But I don't think I knew... Well in advance.
No, but no, neither of us really did. I don't think Mom really knew either. Anyway, so
knew,
there was...
I knew something was happening. I didn't...
So you told me, you were like, hey, Phoebe, there's a stray dog outside. And I was like, Dad, don't go up to random stray dogs. They could have diseases.
I think either I received a phone call or they knocked on the phone. I came to the door and they were like...
They knocked on the phone?
No, they knocked on, they didn't knock on the door knocked because on. I was right by the door.
Well, they must have called me like right as they came to our neighborhood and said, make sure Phoebe comes outside or something like
that. Right. So you were like, there's a stray dog. You should come like look at it. And I was like, you can't go up to random stray dog. That's like not safe. And you were like, no, like come here. And I was like, Dad, you can't like, you don't know if this dog has like a disease or something.
And
then of course
it did. Wait, no.
Of course.
See, I don't remember the story that well.
Of course, these people were around the corner listening to this whole thing. So kind of embarrassing for me. And then you were like, no, it's coming in the house. And I was like, I don't want a random dog inside the house. So I like screamed.
It was like this little fluffy dog,
tiny,
too.
Tiny fluffy dog. Like
a tiny,
it's
like miniature Pomeranian.
Like 5 pounds max. Like tiny, tiny fluffy. And I just like screamed. And I was like, I don't want a random dog. Like
mostly fluff.
Yes. Mostly it was so tiny. And I screamed and the dog kind of screamed back. And then I realized the dog had a sign that was like, Phoebe, will you go to Palm with me, because it was a Pomeranian.
Yeah.
So I told that story because it was a cute story, and I literally made that most of my speech. And then I was like, "Promposals can be fun," or something. Like I said, something along those lines that sounded slightly less
terrifying.
Dumb. Yeah. I was like, "They can be a fun time." And then I got a perfect score in one state. So
promposals. Yay. Promposals have gained a lot of speed. It seems like in the last couple of years, they've kind of gone nationwide. Mom and I grew up in Utah, and Utah's been doing this for decades. Like when we were in high school, it was already going full bore.
Utah,
like when you asked someone to a school dance, you had to do some sort of a elaborate prom.
No,
we didn't
Utah
call them
not
promposals
only,
back then.
No, the word didn't exist, but
well,
the
because,
concept did.
Okay, two things. One, in Utah, it's because there's not just prom. There's like 50 million dances that are all big deals, and like that's not a thing here.
And unlike here, where even the prom, you can go on your own. Most of those, like homecoming, you know, senior ball,
Sweetheart's ball.
They were expected
winter
to
ball.
Be date dances. Like, you weren't, we had other dances that were called stag dances where you could show up alone. But, but those dances, you had to have a date to show up.
But this one, it's like, anyway, for one thing, there's a ton of dances. And for another thing, it's such a big thing there that people I know from Utah, it's not only that you get asked in a crazy way, you have to answer in a crazy way.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's new. That didn't used to be that
way. Well, they just had to. They had to.
That
it
way?
Was.
Maybe
it
was
at my high school. Yeah.
But I think it's gotten like over the years, it's become more and more elaborate.
But
I mean,
I think
it was a thing. Like I think one thing that my sister used to do is she'd make like a candy bar poster.
Oh.
Where you use the different names of the candy bars for parts of the words.
Oh, those are big on Pinterest now.
Or stuff like that. But I think now it's like. It's almost like a bigger deal than the actual night of the dance.
I wouldn't agree with that. Because the night of the dance, you could say, has also gotten more elaborate. But
probably,
I think if you want to know my hot take, my really interesting hot take on promposals that I gave during the speech, it was basically that, like, you know, they might be kind of elaborate, but they're fun. And people don't need to hate on stuff that's fun, was basically my gist. Like, it's not harming anyone.
As long as people are enjoying it.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like about it, and this does mark me as like a party pooper a little bit, I just felt like the obligation to try and do something clever just seemed like way too much work.
Yeah, but...
Because you're lazy.
If you're lazy, that means you don't get a date.
I would rather not. I would rather just like call up some girl and say, hey, do you want to go with me?
Yeah, but that's because you're boring. So.
Exactly. So the other aspect of this story, though, that I was interested in is What about these people who do these things in public, like on the big Omnitron, ask a woman to marry him?
That's the worst.
How do you feel about this?
I think if you do that, you should have, like, it should be something where it's already, like, for me, it's not really my thing, but, like, I feel like it could be a cute thing if you've already discussed marriage and you know they're going to say yes.
And if you know them well enough to know that they're not going to be embarrassed by the attention, I would have died.
I feel like at that point, if you're asking someone to marry you, it's because you know them well enough that you know it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And also, yeah.
What if you were visiting New York and you were in Times Square and someone asked you out on a big billboard in Times Square?
We'd probably say yes.
Would you like that or would you not like that?
That would be fine.
How would that rate from, let's say, one is you absolutely hate it, 10 is it's the best thing that's ever happened to you?
I don't know. Like a 7? I don't know. It would depend on the situation, but I'm not against it. I mean, I'm not someone who loves attention, but that's like a fun gesture, I guess. I don't know. You know what I actually did in high school is I made all of my guy friends posters to ask girls to prom because I love doing like hand lettering.
Uh-huh.
And I loved it. I made some great posters.
You made some pretty good posters.
What about you, Allison? If I had asked you out or asked you to bury me in front of like, you know,
did you say bury me?
I heard bury
Mary.
Me.
I said Mary.
Okay. A little slip there.
You can ask her at a big like berry farm.
So I mean, when you asked me to marry you, I was already embarrassed because I felt like...
And it was just the two of us.
It was just the two of us, like... And I was pretty at ease
with
you normally.
Well, that sounds like a you problem.
It is a me problem, but also
well,
like...
Well, that's what I'm asking is about her, so
well,
that's
and by,
fine.
Yeah, and by the time you proposed, like, we had already discussed marriage and you knew I would say yes and stuff, but like, I think if you're not quite sure that they'll say yes... You probably shouldn't do
well,
it.
Well, I feel like that's a given.
If you're sure, some people just might not appreciate being the focus of attention.
Oh, let me tell you. Okay, so my sophomore year in high school.
Oh, this is a good story, actually.
Is it?
I like it.
I got asked to homecoming, and I wanted to go, and the guy that asked me was a nice guy, but he had like the entire beginning guitar class come to the commons area of our high school, which is where everybody hung out during lunch and before school and after school. And it was like everybody was there. And he had the entire beginning guitar class come and sing Richard Marx's Right Here Waiting to me. And he handed me a rose and asked me, wanted to freaking... die.
Wow.
That really like is a cute thing and I feel like you should not be that negative about it.
Well, I mean, it was
a
cute
that
idea.
Song? That's an extremely cheesy
yes.
song.
Wherever you go.
Well, and sung,
you
sung
do.
And strummed by the beginning guitar class. It was beautiful. let me tell you.
But I love that actually.
It was a
I
cool
think
idea.
That's sweet.
It was a sweet idea. And this guy like he turned out well. He's a good guy. But for me personally, like I was dying. Dying.
I just feel like
one
that's
time.
A you problem. I don't.
Oh, you're
I,
making it sound hey, like I have issues, but it's reasonable.
But everyone can have their own personal
yes,
issues. That's right.
No, but
no,
I don't.
Not just issues, but like personality. I don't really like people looking at me.
Everyone's feelings are valid.
Yes, everyone.
I know. I just feel like, I don't blame him for doing that because it's.
No.
I think that's not like an unusual.
It's, no, it's
thing.
Not his problem. We're not
no.
saying it's his problem.
No.
It's
okay.
just that she did not. Enjoy it
wasn't my. It wasn't enjoyable for me. No, it was really cute, but
one time when I was yeah. in college, and this is a story that does not make me paint a good picture of me. One time when I was in college, my friends got together and threw a surprise party for me on my birthday, and I was in a really bad mood that day,
oh,
and
gosh.
I went down to my room and was just like mad and like blasting music, and all my friends gathered, and then they were like. Does someone want to go down and get him? Because I was just in a bad mood. And
yikes.
I did not want to be going to my own surprise party that I sort of found out about. We have some other news stories.
We do.
So anyone want to read
it's
their
true.
Story?
I will. I have a news story about a real American hero. Woman escapes with cat from car that plunged into river. I think we need applause. So this happened in Blackstone, Massachusetts. A woman was able to save herself and her cat after the car they were riding in plunged into a Massachusetts river. I love the way this is phrased.
Also the one who drove the car into the river.
It makes it sound like the car they were riding in just happened to plunge into a... No, she was driving the car.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't want to say she was driving the car, because if you're driving it, what are you doing, you know, driving it into a river? Anyway, so a hero, not a good driver, but a hero. Blackstone Fire Chief Michael Sweeney says the woman had just picked up her cat from the groomer Saturday when she crashed the car into the Blackstone River. That makes it sound like the Blackstone River just was an obstacle in the middle of the road.
Jumped out in front of her.
Right. Just came out of nowhere, that Blackstone River. Sweeney says the woman grabbed the cat and climbed out the window before the car sank into the water, which is great. The cat wasn't a pet carrier, which is also probably a good thing.
Although a little scarier, though, like the cat couldn't have saved itself. She would have had to save it.
No, but cats don't really swim.
Well, it would have sunk with the car and drowned.
True. But can you imagine trying to grab a cat in the water as it's panicking? If it's in a carrier, you can grab the carrier.
Perhaps if a window was open, the cat might be able to swim. Cats aren't very good at swimming, but they will swim if they have to.
Really? Yeah. I've never seen one swim, and we used to have cats.
Well, they don't prefer to, but if they fall into the water, they can swim.
Okay. Anyway, the woman, who was in her 60s, which is not that old, I'm just saying it's not that old, was taken to the hospital to be treated for cuts on her hand, but the woman and the cat were expected to be okay. Sweeney told the TV station that the woman is a spunky lady. He says to be able to do what she did and get out of that car, she was amazing.
A spunky 60-year-old?
She's probably also, what's the word?
She's a firecracker.
She's a firecracker. No. Sprightly? I'm thinking sprightly. Yes, sprightly.
So you noticed the same detail I did, which is this woman is 60 years old. And The older I get, the younger that seems to me.
Yeah, I don't think being in your 60s.
When I was a kid, 60s... I would think a 60-year-old's an old woman.
Yeah.
I don't think that as much anymore, the closer I get.
It's not at all old. I don't think being 60 is a good excuse for just, like, driving the car into a river.
But way to go to save her cat.
Although it says she didn't drive it into the river. She crashed the car into the Blackstone River. Or it also says the car they were riding in plunged into him. That just avoids all responsibility in that sentence at all. The car they were riding in plunged into a Massachusetts river. I don't know. Anyway, spunky lady, amazing, a real American hero, maybe not a great driver.
Phoebe, what's your story about?
Okay, mine's about a giraffe that was outfitted with therapeutic shoes. Says the Woodland Park Zoo's baby giraffe is walking in style now with new therapeutic shoes to fix abnormalities in his rear legs.
And I believe this zoo is in Seattle.
Do we have an
somewhere
awe
in
drop?
The state of Washington, anyway?
Maybe.
Wait, say that again.
It says Woodland Park Zoo. Oh yeah, it says Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's wearing Seattle. Little shoes.
So it says shortly after the giraffe's birth, May 2nd, he was diagnosed with hyperextended fetlocks, a condition common in horses in which the rear feet aren't in normal alignment. They put casts on his legs the day after he was born to help heal the tendons.
Aww.
And then the in-house exhibits team made custom shoes from high-density plastic and plywood with grooves to improve traction. Treatment is expected to continue over several months.
There is a picture of this baby giraffe, and maybe I'll tweet it out and put it on Instagram.
Is it adorable? I want to see. Aww.
So the baby giraffe was 155 pounds when it was born.
Ooh, me too.
Can you imagine having a 155-pound baby?
They just drop out, too.
Yeah.
Can you imagine your first memory being just falling
to the ground?
Like horses and cattle, like little baby quadrupeds. Is that what you call them?
Yeah.
Four-legged animals. They like walk immediately, but they look so weird when they're walking. Although this one may have had trouble walking because of its problems with its legs.
He was put into a cast pretty immediately, I think.
Yeah.
But it's walking now.
Yep.
With little shoes.
And they think this shoe, they'll be able to take the shoes off in how long?
It said...
I think they said like...
Maybe
it was a different article
I mean, it's
I read,
a trial basis.
They're going to do
it said over several months.
Several months, and then hopefully they'll be able to take them off, and it'll be all healed. Baby giraffes are pretty cute. Baby,
so
all
true.
Baby animals are pretty cute. But the fact that the baby giraffes are born at 155 pounds, I thought was kind of stunning.
Yeah.
Kind of scary.
And they look like they're a very lean 155 pounds, too, because they're super scrawny and skinny, but they're also really tall.
They must be super tall.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I wonder how much a full-grown giraffe weighs.
I think it says.
Does it say?
If not, we can ask Google.
No, it doesn't.
All right, I'm going to ask Google and see if Google can come up with it for us. How much does a giraffe weigh?
Giraffe species northern giraffe typically has a weight of 1,800 pounds.
Hmm. Wow.
It's a lot.
So it is a lot.
But they look so skinny because they're so tall. And
And they are skinny for their height.
But 1,800 pounds, that's like way more than I weigh.
Yeah.
Way more.
Yeah, it's true.
So let's do a segment we have not done in a little while. Let's do hypothetical. What I just said was only hypothetical. Oh. It takes me longer to search for hypotheticals now because we've done so many of them, and there are only so many on the internet, and that's the biggest reason I don't do it as often. One of these is very similar to a hypothetical we've done before, but there's a little bit of a twist to it that I kind of enjoy. Here's the hypothetical. If you could ask your future self from the year 2050 one question, what would it be? So this is sort of the opposite of a hypothetical we've done, which is like, if you could go back into the past and talk to your 10-year-old self and tell them some one thing, what would you tell them? This is if you could speak with your future self. So to start off with, I'm very encouraged by the fact that I exist in the year 2050.
Yeah.
Because that's like 31 years in the future.
I would hope you're still alive by then.
I do too, but I'm encouraged by the fact that according to this hypothetical, I am.
I mean, we're old.
I mean, that's a little reassuring to me. I don't know really how to approach this question. Anyone have any ideas? You only get one question. Would you want to burn it on, like, you know, what company would I invest in?
I feel like I would keep it something kind of small because I don't really want to know huge things. You know what I would like to know that I've been worrying about lately?
What's that?
So mom's been having big problems with the joints in her fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And I worry about that because when I'm mom's age, because it seems to kind of run in the family. I worry about that because when I'm your age, I intend on having a career where I'm playing piano and guitar a lot. And that kind of stresses me out to think that could be a potential problem.
So you would want to ask about your health?
Yeah, like health and things that I could do to kind of prevent some of those things.
That's a pretty sensible, practical answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, one thing I don't think
that would be something that I would regret knowing.
As a matter of strategy, since you only get one question, you want it to be an open-ended question, not a yes or no question.
Yeah.
You want to
you
only get one question, but your future self, you want to give them lots of leeway to answer with a long answer.
Right. So I would ask, along those lines, I would ask, what's important for me to know right now?
Are you really going to put it on the spot for them?
Well, I'm assuming that my future self is smart enough to figure out how to answer that.
Maybe. What if you have dementia in 2050?
Then asking my future self questions is going to be kind of useless anyway if yep. I'm that far.
But then you'd learn even more.
What if you... So, I mean, this is all kinds of like time travel and paradox issues, but like, what is some mistake I need to watch out for? Is that even possible? Like, could your future self tell you to avoid a mistake? Because that person's already made the mistake.
Well, I mean, if we're going
assuming
by...
Assuming there's something major that you've messed up, though. Like, if my 10-year-old self were to ask, I don't think
You haven't even made any mistakes ever.
Well, I mean, everybody makes mistakes, but I don't think there's like, that's the one thing I would tell my 10-year-old self.
Yeah, no, you know? It's true. Yeah.
Well, your
10-year-old, that's my thing with
there's 10-year-old later. Self would have a hard time coming to grips to terms with it either, which is the problem with that other hypothetical.
Right, right.
I don't really, yeah, like I don't, that type of hypothetical, I mean, yeah, I usually actually go for something kind of small and like less big life things because I don't want to mess with that. But I think something small, like what should I be doing now mm-hmm. that would make your life a little bit better? or like help things, or
how can I help the people around me, or how can I, I don't know. Like you could ask yourself, how can I find happiness, or how can I know when I'm, you know, how can I recognize the person I'm meant to be with?
I don't really worry about those things right now, though. I feel like I'm on track for, well, I mean, I'm not on track to find the person I'm going to meant to be with, but I'm not worried that I won't know, you know?
Well, maybe this is a more fundamental question. Would you even ask the question? Or is it not important to ask the question? Would you pass up the opportunity to ask your future self something?
That's why people talk about like, oh, they make it sound like it's like this false dichotomy of either something super huge and important or nothing at all. Like, just ask them something small if you don't want to do anything that's like major and life changing.
So I'm trying to think of some examples, though, of what it's sort of a medium to small issue that would be useful to know about.
Well,
I think joint things problems that would help my future, if I'm going to have future joint problems and what I could do to like ease those in the future.
That's actually a pretty big one. And that's a very sensible one.
But it's one that's not going to, like, in terms of like how much that would like.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's smaller in terms of like, it's not something that I'm really worried is going to be like a huge determining factor in the way my life goes. Yeah. It would just be like my general like quality of life type thing.
Yeah.
Any thoughts, Allison?
I mean, it seems like kind of a small thing, but at the same time, like if I had planned on being a concert violinist, it would be really problematic about now.
Well, that's my problem is I'm not going to be a concert violinist, but I am going to have a job where I need to have a lot of dexterity in my hands.
True.
And like that could be potentially really bad, actually. I was just thinking about this the other day.
Maybe you could focus on singing and drums instead.
Just do drum circles.
Just bongos.
Yeah.
Just bring out the bongos.
But it would be, I mean, that would just be a major, it's impacted your life a lot, but it might, if I was, I don't know.
It hasn't impacted it that much. Like, I chop things less, and I don't know. Sometimes if I'm taking a whole bunch of notes, it starts, like, interfering. But
you probably
that,
wouldn't be playing guitar for a living. I don't know. Anyway.
I think I would ask something along these lines, like, future self, what's the best advice you can give me for what I should be doing now to help my loved ones?
Yeah, I just don't trust
I think your future. Your future self might have a good perspective on that.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
True.
What can you do to have better relationships?
What can I be doing
with,
right now to be helping the people around me and my family and my friends,
or to have better be building better relationships with your family and friends right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you could look back and see things that have.
That I wish I would have done a little bit.
And I'd be interested in hearing what the perspective of my future self would be on those issues.
Because they can see things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I got an easier one. You want an easier hypothetical?
Sure.
Would you rather be a deep sea diver or an astronaut?
Ooh.
Deep sea divers, I think it's always in some sort of like submersible vehicle, right?
No, I think sometimes they go out in their wetsuits.
Yeah, like scuba diving.
Yeah. Well, scuba's not deep sea, though.
Oh, deep.
I think usually you have to have like a little explorer
honestly,
type vehicle because the water pressure's
into,
low.
I'm not super into either idea. Like, neither sounds something that I really feel like is worth the risk.
I think exploring the deep sea could be really fascinating because there's lots of crazy creatures.
I would
down
rather
there.
Be in the middle sea than the deep sea. Like, scuba diving sounds fun, but like deep sea with all the like weird, like ugly things and it's all dark. Like, I'd rather be in the middle sea. It sounds like more fun.
It could be interesting, though, because you're exploring and you're like, you know, I don't know if this is true or not, but I'd always heard, like, we know less about the depths of the ocean than we do about outer space.
I don't think that's true because
I don't know whether it's true.
We're in an infinitely small fraction. Like, we don't even know how big outer space is.
But there's
so
a lot of things in deep sea that we have not explored.
It's true. It is like super mysterious and cool down there.
Species and creatures and stuff.
It is cool.
So this is my deal. Okay, like I'm not a huge risk taker. I don't like to do things that might end with me dying.
It's worked out well for you so far.
It has, because I haven't died yet, but just by being kind of a chicken. But I'm really interested in both space and the ocean. Like deep sea stuff is really cool and fascinating to me.
Might do deep sea.
Yeah, but both kind of scare me. Like I think you're probably going to be more likely to die exploring outer space.
Yeah, because of the whole, you know, takeoff and reentry issue.
It's scary. So I probably would do deep sea. But honestly, deep sea kind of freaks me out because I'm a little bit claustrophobic. And like even watching like documentaries about like under the sea, like I'm really into them. I love them. I get really excited. But I also like I find myself holding my breath.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I would do deep sea in a second. I would do that without a second thought. Space is tempting just because I'd like to experience zero gravity.
Yeah.
And that'd be cool.
I don't want to do that.
And very few people have been to outer space. I guess very few people have been to like, you know, the bottom of the Marianas Trench too, but.
Yeah. You don't think you'd get nauseous being in zero gravity?
I might, but still I'd be able to experience it.
You really want to throw up in zero gravity?
You get sick on like carnival, like not carnival, but.
But maybe it'd be worth it to just fighting through the nausea at first.
Okay. No. Nothing is worth that. I'm sorry. Like I
think it'd be worth it to me.
I spent so much time I have four beautiful kids and they were totally worth it. But the morning sickness was by far.
Nothing is worth that.
Only my four children are worth that. But like the thing is like it would be cool to explore, but you'd be so sick you wouldn't care.
Yeah, I can't care about anything when I'm sick.
And I think floating around in zero gravity, I think I would vomit. And then it would be like in the air by me.
I don't think I would vomit.
I definitely hear what you're saying about the risk aversion. You know, I'm also kind of a risk adverse person.
Yeah.
And I do think the risks are greater for outer space. And for that reason, I think I lean toward the deep sea diver versus astronaut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I would definitely I don't think I would pass up either opportunity. I think it would both be pretty interesting.
I probably wouldn't pass up. If it was just like a trip to the moon, like I feel like they've got that down, right?
Yeah, there's all these companies now, like Jeff Bezos' company, and I think, you know, the other one, SpaceX, both have, like, concrete plans to go to the moon now.
Yeah. I don't think I would pass up going to the moon.
Probably not.
It would be pretty interesting.
Although the moon is less of, like, a space exploration thing.
Yeah, and there's, like, really less on the moon to be excited about.
Except for the fact that you're on the moon.
Say, like, point to the moon and say,
I think it would be cool to look at the Earth.
That's true.
Oh yeah, that would be cool.
Wouldn't that be cool to look at the Earth from space?
Looking back at the Earth would be really cool.
That would be super.
Going to the moon
cool.
would be. You're talking about the moon, like it'd be so boring to go there.
There's just not much on the moon. It's like it's just kind of sand and crazy.
I don't think you would get tired of like the low gravity super fast though.
Probably not. But, and also like the view. You're right about that. Like the view of seeing the Earth from the moon would be worth going for.
Yeah, it would.
Which would you choose? I'm gonna say deep sea diver.
Maybe I would go to the moon. That'd be cool.
Astronaut.
I'll do it. Also because there's like a chance
go to Mars
that I could
because that's just too far away and you'd probably never come home.
But it would be cooler.
But not worth it at all.
Come
back.
If my immediate family
hospitable place.
No, I feel like if all my immediate family like were to die for some reason and I didn't
that
have
that sounds so threatening.
Well, no. Okay. Like then I wouldn't really
not part of the hypothetical.
I wouldn't care if I died on Mars because that's
have
an adventure.
To stay for.
Right. Well, I would miss less, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want to miss like my kids growing up and my grandkids and everything, but
if we can't give you grandkids, you're going to Mars.
So I say deep sea.
That's your ultimatum.
Yeah.
Phoebe says astronaut. Are you saying astronaut too then?
I just want to go to the moon.
And I'm sort of building into this hypothetical. This is not like you have to dedicate your career to it. It's like you're given the opportunity to either go to the bottom of the Marianas Trench in a deep sea submersible or go to the moon on a rocket ship.
I'm assuming both are safe. I'm going to say moon.
Yeah, if they both were safe, I would choose space. But I think you'd be more likely to die. So I'd probably, without that guarantee, I'd go for deep sea.
Yeah. All right. Well, we only have
safer.
One last thing to do on the podcast, and that is?
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
So for treat yourself, we have some new products from the fast food restaurant McDonald's. Are you familiar with McDonald's, Phoebe?
I am familiar with McDonald's.
What are these called? They're called slushies, I guess. McDonald's
slushies.
They're like
the Minute Maid slushies.
Minute Maid slushies that we have them in three flavors. We have peach, Fruit Punch and Blue Raspberry.
They're very summery looking.
Blue Raspberry is not anything that's found in nature.
I don't think any of these flavors are.
I don't know where blue raspberry came from. Peach is a flavor from nature.
Yeah.
Fruit Punch. What does Fruit Punch mean exactly?
I feel like it's like
does it relate orange, to a particular tropical, fruit?
It's tropical fruit. Like kind Hawaiian of. Punch or it. I mean, it's like pineapple
it's
and other.
Not necessarily tropical, I feel like. I feel like it's like, I think of like the picture on the Hi-C things where it's like cherry, grape, orange.
I think of Hawaiian Punch.
I think there's
punch.
Pineapple in there. Yeah, I think yeah. of Hawaiian Punch, and there's pineapple in there too.
But I don't love know fruit like punch. What, it's sort of non-specific fruit.
Fruit mm-hmm. Punch is the best dum-dum flavor, in my opinion.
Hmm. I never really
I like
thought about
fruit
that.
Punch dum-dums.
I like the, what do I like? I don't know, the root beer and the butter rum and the, I don't know.
We should try these before they
butterscotch.
Melt.
Butterscotch. We should. All right, which one should we try first?
Do we want to, how about we each just pass them around, we each take a sip of one, then we can talk about them individually?
No, I think we need to talk about them one at a time or else it's confusing.
Okay. Do you want to start with blue raspberry then?
Let's start with peach because that seems like it would have the least strong flavor.
Okay.
What do you guys think of the peach flavor?
Reminds me of a peach ring flavored snow cone.
Yeah.
It's a little liquidy, but they also traveled a car ride here.
I did have to go to McDonald's, which is about 10 minutes away, and drive them home.
It's not 10 minutes away. It's like 5. But they were looking liquidy.
But
they were looking liquidy right away.
What do we think? What do we think of the Minute Maid peach slushy?
I like it. It's okay. It's very summery.
I think it's okay.
Yeah,
it's not
okay.
Great. It tastes just like, I don't know.
Fake
like,
peach.
Like peach ring.
Peach punch.
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
It just is kind of summery and refreshing.
All right, let's go for the fruit punch. Non-specified fruit punch next.
I think it's kind of delicious. It's a very like nostalgic, like juice
yum,
boxy
yum,
flavor.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
You
it's
know what I mean?
Definitely like if you taste that, you definitely taste fruit punch, whatever that is. It's yeah. It's definitely fruit punch, like yeah. Hawaiian punch or like it's just a red punch.
To me, it tastes a lot like the Capri Sun.
Yeah, it tastes like Capri Suns.
I like mm-hmm. it better than the peach,
mm-hmm.
but to me, it's still just okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm looking for here, but I wouldn't go out of my way to get this.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right, one last one to try, and that is the blue raspberry. This is the one I have the most concerns about. Let's see how it goes. Blue raspberry is such a weird flavor because it doesn't taste like raspberry, but it does no. taste like a blue snow cone.
It tastes, no, you know what it tastes like?
Blue.
It's blue Otter Pops.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like exactly like a blue Otter Pop, which I kind of appreciate.
Which is a good summery flavor.
Yeah. It's just kind of like it's a very specific like craving, you know?
Yeah.
It's a weird flavor, but it definitely like, it tastes like a blue snow cone.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can, blue can be a flavor, but it is the flavor of blue.
Yep.
What do you think if you had to rank it? Or rate it, I guess.
I think it's okay.
Yeah, I don't like it as much as the other two, but it's still okay. It's fine.
I also think it's okay. I'm going to call all of them okay, which is really boring, but if I were to rank them in order of what I liked, I would put fruit punch at top. I would put the blue raspberry in the middle, and I would put peach at the bottom, which is not how I would have guessed.
Yeah,
I would have thought
about
peach would be what I would like the most.
They're,
but the fruit punch was probably the best of the bunch, and blue raspberry second.
Very blue tasting. I think they're just good for summer. Like that's kind of what
they're
you
fine.
Want sometimes.
Yeah,
it's like something that's just.
They all taste very summery. They taste like melted. Popsicle kind of.
I think
of,
they taste kind of nostalgic. I don't know.
They do.
There's a certain like nostalgia to like that blue raspberry flavor and the fruit punch flavor.
It tastes a little bit like Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Yep. What do you think, Allison, if you had to rank them?
I mean, I don't love any of them, but I think that the fruit punch I like a lot more than the other two. It's still just okay because it's not something I would like get really excited about. But yeah, I'd go fruit punch at the top and then peach and then blue. But yeah, they're all, they're fine.
Yep. So that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks, Phoebe, for being on the podcast. Thanks, Allison, for joining the podcast. And thank you especially to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can also find us at talktodadpodcast.com, where you can stream and download all of our podcasts. It's that time of year where people are going to be taking vacations. If you're taking a road trip with your family, I think our podcast is a good one to listen to with the whole family because it is a family-friendly podcast. If you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend. And the other thing is you can give us a 5-star review. If you leave us a 5-star review wherever you find the podcast, that might help other people find the podcast. Anytime you subscribe, rate, or review, that helps the profile of the podcast. And that's all we ask for from our listeners. So if you do that, we thank you very much. To everyone who has, we thank you. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.